Emma State University after nearly three decades. The actress has appeared in several films and TV shows, but says her greatest role was teaching. Those are your news headlines this morning. I'm Jalea Brooks. Be sure to watch Alabama News Network on CBS 8 and ABC 32.
The following is a paid program. All content is provided by Dan Morris Productions and does not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of WACB Radio, Blue Water Broadcasting, or Liberty Acquisitions 825.
District 74 does have a choice. Tobias Grant, a new name, a new voice. Tobias Grant, born and raised in Montgomery County, a University of Alabama graduate, a retired United States Army officer, and former NCO who served in Afghanistan.
I'm Tobias Grant. I want to unify and grow this district, and I need your vote this Tuesday, June 11th, to make that possible.
District 74 does have a choice. Tobias Grant, a new name, a new voice. Tobias Grant. Pay political ad by friends to elect Tobias Grant. District 74, P.O. Box 3393, Montgomery 36109.
The River Region's News Talk Station. News Talk 93.1, WACV. News Talk 93.1.
Everyone. Okay, we got to do another drawing here. I'm excited. This is a great, people were asking me, going, how do I sign up for this? Well, I believe everything is full on, but you can go to the Marguerite's website and take a look at it, but that's how people signed up for it. Okay, drum roll.
Okay, let me get them out here. Here we go.
The winner for drawing for this hour is Herbert Downing.
Hubbard Downing,
you need to call, I'm going to give you this telephone number, within the hour, 396-5477, 396-5477. You have got one of the places in the Marguerite's 1-carat Forever Diamond giveaway, $10,000 diamond.
Wow.
And you're in on that drawing. So, but you got to call them. If you don't call them within the hour, tough noogies, 396-5477, and they've got your name. They're ready to hear from you. Okay, let's continue back on with this Google story. So you two think Google has plenty of money?
I think they got a buck.
If there was somebody who's going to be suing, Google would be right up at the top of my list.
Could you imagine the grin on his face when he was being fired? It was like, for what reason?
You say, what? Okay, so Google bias is seen all over the place.
So when you say respond to discovery, what you're saying is you want to see documents from inside Google that supports what James says is political bias against conservatives.
Oh, absolutely. Political bias. And, it's not just documents, but they'll have to answer some questions from us. And really, right. We get to delve into their employment practices and see what they do behind the scenes, because it's a notoriously opaque process. And California law requires that they be pretty transparent about these issues and not discriminate on the things that we're claiming.
When he was at Google, how would this bias manifest itself?
Well, our lawsuit details an extensive practice by Google senior executives and employees on people based on being just a conservative, being a Trump supporter, or even in James's case, who's not even, he calls himself a classical liberal, somebody who just says that the company should be open-minded and objective about these issues. But it's a very liberal workplace, and it comes out with liberal products as a result. And so I think people are entitled to ask these questions.
You know, I think it was a year or two ago that Jack Dorsey, the guy from Twitter, said on Capitol Hill, he said, look, we're in California. Everybody, for the most part, leans to the political left. It's hard to find people who are conservative out there.
That's nonsense. So Google operates worldwide, and one of our employment plaintiffs actually doesn't even live in California. And so, the fact of the matter is that I'm here in the Bay Area, and I know many people who've applied to work there who've been rejected for mysterious reasons. It's Google. Google has all the information about everybody. In fact, they gather it and they sell it. And so we know they have it, and we're going to find out exactly how they use it in the hiring process. And then a court will decide later on, several months down the road, whether there's enough information to certify the classes of gender discrimination, of political discrimination, and of racial discrimination at Google.
One of William's friends that I went to school with from K through 12 is a Google employee. He went to William and this young man went to school together. Then he went to a college, a really well-known college, and then went is out of California to work for Google. And his dad told me, he says there's a whole different land out there, a completely different world. He said when you walk into Google space, and that's what they call it, is that you are in a whole different atmosphere of there, the way people think, the way they talk, what they do. It took him months to get used to.
Wow.
He said it's just absolutely incredible. It's just, you come and go when you want to. You do your work when you want to. As long as you get your work done, everything's fine.
Did I hear that lady say it was hard to find conservative people? Did she say that?
She did say that, but she said that's what Google said it was, hard to find.
I know. I'll take the job.
Yeah. Rushy?
I would go out there to be, you know, they need somebody as a bad example in the office that you don't want to be like. And I don't mind. See him?
You get that job?
Yeah.
See him? Do not follow his.
Do not do what he does.
Do not ever do what he does.
And I'll just look up from my stuff. I wave. Hey, how you doing?
Ruth Bader Ginsburg is kind of in the news. Jason Napolitano, Judge Knapp as we call him, is going to weigh in on this on Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Judge, her words are very interesting here for many reasons. I feel like you gave it away to me in the commercial break, but well, to hear a justice say that.
It's almost unheard of, and it is a new era in Supreme Court history where justices release copies of their speeches or say things publicly, which almost make it sound as if the Supreme Court is a legislature voting in accordance with predisposed attitudes about the law, rather than a nine justices looking dispassionately at facts and law and the Constitution and resolving a dispute. So what she's basically saying is, translated what I just said, don't get too excited about all these unanimous opinions. You're going to see some 5-4 and you're going to see some really sharp divisions. Is she telling us that these hot button cases like the census question and the so-called gerrymandering cases are going to go 5-4 against her, and she and her liberal colleagues are authoring bitter dissents, and we should be prepared for this? If that's the case, why telegraph it as if it were politics?
And what she basically said is that there are going to be some sharp elbows out there. There are going to be these 5-4 opinions, and there are going to be a big difference in the 5 and the 4.
Now, is she speaking from the grave now? Because have we seen her?
Yeah, we've seen her.
Okay. Now, are we sure it's her?
Well, it could be either that or it's the little space alien.
they got like Yoda and brought him in and got, vote not I will.
She looks like somebody could go up to her and go, boo! And she's like, boom, she'd be gone.
I think she's gone, man. I really do. I think she's a Muppet now.
Well, she's trying to hang on to make it past Trump.
Wow.
And, you know, she basically said, some people asked her to, once she stepped down, she said, well, whoever they would pick would not be as good or as liberal as me. She said that.
There you go. Oh. And what is she now, like 87, 88? I mean, she's got some...
she's on up there.
She's got some miles on her.
She's sipping on formaldehyde.
No doubt.
Oh, man. No. But, I mean, you saw her. I hate to say it.
I don't wish nothing on her, but, you know, she's got a few months. I mean, go fishing. Go relax.
Something.
Yeah.
I mean, she made a big movie.
She's living in the pinnacle of her life.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, she's a rock star up there.
Oh, wow.
And she goes to New York and goes to plays and concerts and things like that.
Yeah, but they're like, can we get a comment?
Yeah, and you remember when she went to sleep at the State of the Union?
All now, of them.
Did you see the meme? And she went to sleep, and Kennedy was sitting next to her, and she woke up, and Kavanaugh was sitting next to her, and she looked and said, "Oh, no way!
What happened?"
Hello.
Let's continue on with Jason Napolitano, and he's talking about Ruth Bader Ginsburg commenting on Kavanaugh.
It's really interesting, her remarks here. She says this term has been more than usually taxing. She started off by noting one of the most fundamental changes at the court, obviously. I would say the event of greatest consequences for this current term and perhaps for many terms ahead is Justice Kennedy announcing his retirement. She went on.
What she means is and being replaced by Justice Kavanaugh.
Correct.
So is she being critical of that? That's highly inappropriate.
She went on to make a specific comments about Justice Kavanaugh, saying she was quite pleased by at least one aspect of her newest colleague's work, saying that thanks to his elections, he brought on board an all-female law clerk crew. Thanks to his selections, the court has this term for the first time ever more women than men serving as law clerks. That's what she could find.
Not anything in his intellect or his rationale as a justice or in his fidelity to the Constitution.
Or noting the Trump-appointed justices involved in these narrow decisions, Judge. Kavanaugh has sided with liberals once. Gorsuch has sided with liberals twice. Kavanaugh split with Roberts only once in 25 official decisions.
She should be happy that Justice Kavanaugh voted with her on a Planned Parenthood decision, whether or not to hear the appeal, and he voted with her and the other liberals not to hear the appeal. So I don't know where this is going. And my late friend Justice Scalia caused some of this as well by giving television interviews. But it was better when there was some mystery about the court. But when justices give speeches or interviews and sound like politicians, in my view, they diminish the credibility of the court.
Can you imagine if something happens to Ruth Bader Ginsburg, how crazy the Democrats will be?
Oh, they'll lose their mind.
They'll absolutely lose their mind. And McConnell's on record, he was asked, what happens if an opening happens next year? And remember, that's a presidential year. And so the concept was for the Gorsuch is to, we need to, the Obama appointed someone, but the McConnell didn't hear it because it was an election year.
Right.
So he's asked, what happens if an opening happens next year? And you know what McConnell said? We'll fill it.
Immediately.
Don't you know they'll be burning his effigy at the stake?
It may be him at the stake.
But they will go crazy. Even if it happens before January of next year, they will absolutely go nuts because this has been their greatest nightmare, is the fact that you have three conservatives. I mean, three very hard, big-time, rock-hard conservatives in there. That would drive them, particularly replacing Ruth Bader Ginsburg. It would change the dynamic of the court tremendously.
Oh, yeah.
So let's listen to Jason Napolitano talking about some of the court decisions that are coming up. This is interesting.
Obviously concerns you. The first big decision we expect, whether citizenship questions should be added to the census as we await that, Judge.
We're probably going to hear that 2 weeks from today. There are seven major decisions that we're all waiting for, so-called hot button issues. And there's two more days. So probably three will come a week from today and four will come 2 weeks from today. The citizenship one, which is the hottest one, knowing the Chief Justice, he saves the best for last, will probably come last. And my prediction is that the government will win 5-4 with a bitter, bitter, stinging, over-the-top dissent, probably written by Justice Ginsburg herself.
Lastly, I want to ask you about Trump officials wanting to strip convicted terrorists of citizenship and get your thoughts on that.
There's no provision in the law for doing that. First of all, you cannot enhance a penalty after the crime was committed. And secondly, under current law, you can only lose your citizenship if you knowingly and intentionally and voluntarily give it up, or if the government can show that you perpetrated a fraud on the government when you applied for the citizenship. You can't lose your citizenship because of something that you did after you became an American citizen.
Dan, I got a question.
Sure.
What about this census thing now? Is that supposed to be to count citizens or just people?
That's a great question, and it's the question is, can you ask them the question, are you a citizen? There was, because of what was going on in the South in the 1860s, they said you needed to count the slaves, but they wouldn't give them a person-to-person count. That's the where the four-fifths came from.
Right.
So they were four-fifths of a person, because the populations were enormous of slaves that were in Mississippi, for example, Vicksburg in particular, and they didn't want those to represent congressional districts because it was based on population.
So, but what we're dealing with now, I think a lot, is people who may not be here legally? Is that?
Let's say there are 11 million of them.
And that would really skew, you know, that's what they take the census for, is to see where to put money and where to draw lines for
congressional districts.
Yeah. And wouldn't that mess that up completely?
It would. And where do you think that California has 54 members of Congress?
I know. That would just kind of, what was that guy that asked if Guam would tip over if you had too many people on one end of it?
Yeah.
That would be like California. Would it tip over?
Yeah, that was a member of Congress that said that. I think it was Sheila Jackson Lee, who also asked where the American flag was on Mars from the astronauts being there.
I said, well, it
she didn't miss about too much.
It tipped over. We're going to send you up there to stand it back up.
News on 93.1. Damn, our show, we're going to be back right after this.
The Dan Morris Show. Know whether he's coming or going, but whether you're going to work or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings 6 till 9 and afternoons 3 till 6, only on News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
As a business owner, how important is it that the first person your clients meet be exceptional? Do you realize they don't actually meet your employee first? They meet the outside of your building first. What you do on the outside of your building tells a customer a lot about what you do on the inside. When customers drive up to any business, a restaurant, a bank, a hospital, what is the first thing they see besides the building itself? They see the landscaping. If the landscaping is beautifully groomed, aesthetically pleasing, and professionally managed, you're going to instantly gain respect and trust. Property Management Source has proven to be one of the most professional landscape management companies in the area for businesses. For your business to succeed, call PMS 593-3341. They know how important a beautifully landscaped, manicured entrance is to any business. Call Property Management Source 593-3341. They are your first impression. If it's outdoor, they do it.
Live local talk, the River Region's only 24-hour News Talk FM station. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Oh, 272-9228. That's where we are on a Monday. Let's move into a different subject here. The Dems, and particularly Bernie Sanders, but Elizabeth Warren and all of these guys, yahoos, we're going to get into some of the new polling that's out. Talking about the federal minimum wage, and these guys just don't realize how they're going to run this country into the ground if they do this. And I hate it when government people... They know government really well. They love government, but they try to apply government to everything that's out there. And it's just crazy. Let's listen in.
2020 Democrat Bernie Sanders. He wants to be the nominee on the Democratic side, and he's ramping up attacks on our nation's largest employers while demanding they pay their workers a so-called living wage.
Walmart pays many of its employees starvation wages. Walmart can afford to pay its employees a living wage.
The fight at McDonald's is the fight for millions of working class people who are sick and tired of working longer hours for lower wages. I hope and believe that in the next month, the United States House of Representatives will pass a $15 an hour minimum wage.
All right, but will ideas like these wind up hurting the same people they're meant to help, especially for workers in the restaurant industry? Here to discuss is Carl Howard, president and CEO of Fazuli's Italian Restaurants. He's done multiple things in his life, understands the world of business and the risks that take place, especially in small business. Carl, his heart is for the worker, but what is he exactly doing for the worker?
Yeah, so I think his approach is just a little too aggressive. So federal minimum wage definitely needs to be raised gradually over a period of time. But if we would go to $15 an hour next year, it would be catastrophic for many of the small operators and even regional-sized brands for us. It would just be detrimental.
Why?
Well, it's about 30% of your overall cost is labor. So if you take your labor up by $7, you're going to absorb $2.10 for every hour that you're going to have to pass on to the consumer. So you're going to have to figure out how to recover those lost profits.
Let me tell you something. These grocery stores that went to self-checkout, you go to Walmart now, look at the number of people who are going through the line. The only people going through the line are folks that have a basket full of stuff.
Right.
Most other people are just going through self-checkout.
Well, it's faster, and it's always open.
I do it at McDonald's. Go in there, order my coffee, hit my debit card, and go to the counter and get it.
Yeah. And that's the new kiosk stuff is happening all over the place. I was in Birmingham recently, and I was kind of surprised that a noted restaurant there had one of those little things where you do your order at the table.
Oh, yeah.
And that you don't. I mean, the person who brings the food, if you need something, you can press a button and they'll bring you something. But it literally will say, you know, if more water or whatever, you just press a button. Do it. And they still expect a 15% tip, by the way.
Well, I worked with a young man one time, and he just couldn't understand why the company we worked for couldn't give them $15 an hour. And I actually sat down. He was grown. He was a grown man. And we actually sat down, and I explained to him about how you set aside so much for payroll. And if you've got six people working in a place making $7.50 an hour, and they send everybody to $15 an hour, well, three of them people's got to go away because you can't afford to pay all of them with what you have for payroll. Plus, they will drop you down to probably 34 hours a week, and you'll lose any sort of benefits you have. Health, vision, dental, all that kind of stuff goes away when you're not full-time.
Well, and also it doesn't, I mean, it doesn't take this into account. It's not the person who's making $7.50 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
It's the person who's making $10 an hour that really moved up to get to that $10.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to pay that person $15, all of a sudden they're going to get a 50% raise?
That's
they're going to expect a raise, too.
Yeah, that's
well, exactly,
good
because that becomes a new minimum.
That's right.
It's not the person who's earning the least who's going to make 15, and the guy who's earning 10 is going to stay at 10. The guy who's earning 10 is going to go to 10. But guess what? He ain't going to go because they're not going to give him a 50% raise because they just somebody passed along.
When I first started working, I think minimum wage was about $1.85.
I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that.
And
my clearest memory is $2.10 at Burger King.
I'd get up in the morning and hitch up the wagon and ride 40 miles uphill in the snow to work and get
my
minimum wage.
Yep.
But these guys are nuts, absolutely nuts. Mm-hmm. And there's a big difference between New York City and Montgomery, Alabama.
Oh, yeah.
If they go to $15 an hour, you're going to be seeing me at the drive-in. What's your order?
Come out of retirement.
Yeah, I mean, you know, 30 hours a week.
Catch it with that.
Yeah, get the golden arches.
No, Ronald's
they
not
will,
here.
They will be. I tell you what, it will just kill the employment here. Let's keep going here with creating automated systems here, which you clearly will see.
So you got to go to the customer who's deciding to maybe eat out at a restaurant business. He has to say, I'm charging you more for everything because minimum wage went up. And those other people that were making over minimum wage because they were good workers, they're going to have to get a raise too. So there'll be a ripple effect on down.
No question. And then the other unintended consequences, you're going to see more automation. So you're going to see more and more restaurant brands and chains. And you're already seeing it in large scale brands right now. with automation.
And he goes after McDonald's. So what's the reality about McDonald's? They're franchise owned.
Yeah, so the overall impact to the McDonald's corporation is not going to be great. It's not going to have much impact on them, but the individual franchisee, it's going to have a large impact.
Right, and on top of that, now when you walk in, there's really no one to greet you. You have that machine in front of you, and you hit in your order, and they're making it in the back.
Yeah, so regardless of what they say, that's where we're heading. That's where they're going right now. You see it already with the kiosks, where it was self-serve, and we've been training Americans how to do that for several years in the airline industry and banks, and restaurants are going in the same direction.
News Talk 93.1. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Rodney. Rodney, welcome aboard the Dan Moore Show.
Hey, Dan, Joey. How are y'all today?
Where are you right now? What part of the state?
I'm up in Opelika this morning.
How's the weather there?
Well, I just had a nice size storm that busted loose in this area and then blew through. It's just spot and go. It's popping up, pouring, and then, sun pops out.
Yeah, somebody was just texting me saying that it's getting super dark outside. Rusty, you may want to look at your weather on your phone, see the weather.
Okay, let's check it out.
Yeah, I'm looking. I'm heading back into Montgomery now from Auburn, and it looks like over the south side of 85, there's a big old cloud hanging up there, big old black cloud.
I'm looking at the Rich Thomas app. No home should be without it. And there is some activity. We've got some lightning in the area. And after about 4, it goes away, and then you see some more rain. But there is a little rain in the area right now.
That's in straight into Montgomery, right on top of Montgomery?
Right on top of us.
Yeah.
Well, I don't see anything about any bad weather.
Yeah. Dan.
Yes, sir. What's on your mind?
The problem I got with these restaurants is, number one, the first thing I did is I went into a restaurant not too long ago, and they're hiring all these young kids and everything, and my breakfast burrito looked like a baseball. And I went back and talked to the manager about it. He said, well, we already showed this young man several times how to fold these things, and I'm thinking to myself, like, he's like 17 or 16, 17, I'm not sure. I'm saying, boy, what did his mom and dad do to him because he can't even fold a burrito? The other thing is that I noticed over the last year, too, me and my wife don't eat at no fast food restaurants, no fast restaurants because of that problem. Food's never right. We done got food that's made us sick quite a few times this year at restaurants. And so I think that it's all going to backfire on them, and the kiosks and everything, the investment's just going to be a wash because people are not going to tolerate
it.
I'm looking at 10 years down the road to where...
Well, let me tell you something I've learned in business. If you're paying somebody $7.50 an hour, the fact that you pay him $15 an hour, that your mate to pay him $15, makes them not 1 ounce smarter than they were when they were making $7.50 an hour.
You're absolutely correct, because my hamburger is no better, but it's about $3 higher. Now, the price, if it increases any more than what it is, I'm not paying $10 for a hamburger fries.
Well, I don't say you're getting... I mean, let's do some math there. Let's say a meal at McDonald's costs $5, and 25% of that is labor. So your labor costs go from $1.25 to $2.50. It basically doubles. So what your $5 hamburger is going to go to $6.25.
Man.
Correct.
But there's a reason I don't eat $5 hamburgers, too.
Yeah. Like I said, it's getting to the point where you can go to the butcher and buy you a big old steak and have them grind it up into ground meat and take it home and make burgers cheaper than you can go to buy your burger. So that's where they're heading with it. They keep going with it. They're going to outsource it all. It's the ones that are not doing it that I think has got the right idea. And I'm going to say right now, one restaurant that you can look at as a leader in Alabama is Jack's, because everybody goes to Jack's because they love the people that's in there, the interaction with the people in the morning, the greeter that's in there, and all the people working in there. So people go, and I'd be willing to pay money for that, but I'm not going to pay higher percentage for the meal to interact with some type of computer or kiosk. I ain't going to do it.
Yeah, let me tell you something. The whole fast food industry is built across on the concept of fast food. Something right. You can get in, get out fast. You can do it during a short lunch break or while you're driving. If they were to do this, it would change, and I could never say it in Alabama, but it could change everything in places like Washington, D.C., New York, New Jersey. I mean, people would be, they would revolt.
Right. Well, one other quick thing here. All the people that's been working at these fast food restaurants, and these restaurants are really not designed for people to work there for a long period, for lifetime. But some people have worked there for years, and I understand that they need more revenue. Well, our president's got plenty of jobs out there. Quit that fast food job and go get your real job. That's how you solve the problem. Don't raise the price of the burgers. Go get you another job. That's what I do when I need more money or I need to raise resources. My wife's mad at me. She ain't got enough money to spend. I go find more money to make. That's what I do.
There you go. Thanks for telephone call, Rodney. Tell you something else is going to happen is they're going to start doing co-op jobs. Where instead of paying you $15 an hour in New York, what you're going to do is you're going to be a part owner. You're going to be a partner in there. And so you're going to reap some of the benefits of it. Our Investor Business Daily came up with that as a solution in Santa Fe. And people started doing it when they went to this high deal. Instead of paying them that higher amount, they brought them in as partners into it. And what they did is they raised their quality up tremendously. News Talk 93.1, because you can fire a partner that you really don't like. News Talk 93.1, Dan Moore Show, we'll be back after this.
Want to carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
They say that diamonds are a girl's best friend. You've heard that diamonds are forever. And if you've got a name, you could win a 1-carat Forever Mark diamond appraised at $10,000 from News Talk 93.1 and Marguerite's Exquisite Jewelry. Winning is simple. You've got a name. Register online at our website, newstalk931.com. We'll call out names all week long. Hear your name called? You have the rest of that hour to call in and qualify. Make sure your friends and family are listening for your name, too. Call in for carats. A 1-carat Forever Mark diamond appraised at $10,000 and many more jewelry prizes from Marguerite's Exquisite Jewelry and News Talk 93.1.
The Rich Thomas Weather Network is brought to you by Montgomery Subaru. The experience you want from a dealer is at Montgomery Subaru. 3000 Eastern Boulevard or on the web at MontgomerySubaru.com. Montgomery Subaru.
Hi, everybody. We're not quite done with this wet and steamy pattern yet, but there is light at the end of the tunnel soon. Today, periods of showers and thunderstorms again. Locally heavy rainfall in spots. High temperature 87. Low tonight down to about 68. Tomorrow and Wednesday, a sun and cloud mix. Not as many storms around, but still some spotty scattered thunderstorms. High in the mid-80s. Then drier weather returns Thursday, Friday, Saturday with a good bit of sun and highs in the mid to upper 80s. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
What's getting in the way of you living your best life, your prime life? Visit Prime South Bank and you'll find the service and tools for you to enjoy a prime life. From free checking to the perks of personal attention, Prime South Bank is ready to serve you in Tallahassee, Wetumpka, Montgomery, and online. Member FDIC.
On FM, on your smartphone, and online, the River Region's most trusted voice, News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Gary just sent me a picture. If I was a funnel cloud, I'd be in that.
That's kind of ugly looking, isn't it?
That's the picture, Gary. You guys have bad weather reports. Let us know so we can kind of alert people.
You know what we need up here? A periscope. I mean, the roof's
or
just
Scott.
Right.
Or
yeah, something like that. You know, just look around, see what's happening.
Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Eric. Eric, welcome aboard the Dan Moore Show on a Monday.
Hola.
Hola, my friend.
How y'all there?
Very good.
Yeah.
Por qué?
Porque yo te pregunto. Don't start that. Dan gets upset. You know, these guys have all gone to college and spent their whole entire lives trying to figure out how us peasants should work to, you know, pay their bills and make them wealthy. Why don't they incentivize apprenticeship programs?
Ding, ding, ding.
I mean, why don't... Because I'll tell you right now, if somebody would get it where you get, like, a paid internship, you know, the benefit, the business benefits, because they're able to pay me a lower wage for a while, but in the long run, if I'm any good at what I'm doing and they're teaching me well, I'm an asset to the company.
Absolutely. Yeah, I tell people, instead of going to college, which first thing you need to do is talk to people who are in the profession you want to be in, and then shadow them, and then try to go in and work as an intern, and find out what certification registration you need, and that's the course you need to take.
And you know, there's no shame in doing something with your hands.
Absolutely. You can make a lot of money doing this.
A lot of people stepping out of college, and a lot of people maybe go to a 12, 18-month trade school. And, you know, they're making probably twice what that graduate's making, and they're not in debt up to their eyeballs.
Yeah, go ahead.
Where are they? I've learned several different professions. I learned bill collections. I learned house painting, automotive painting.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned to drive trucks. I don't have a license, but I've learned how to drive some trucks. There's just, if you put your nose to the grindstone and you're willing to work, then there's no reason for all this.
Well, we have been sold this bill of goods by high ed that you need to have a college degree. No, you don't need to have a college degree. There's so many things that you can learn on the internet and through distance learning, but doing it with someone who is expert at it, that's what you need to do.
Right.
Well, you go into construction, and I'm telling you right now, there are people that drive nicer cars, have nicer homes, that own their own businesses doing trades. They're doing a lot better than a lot of people that went to college.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean,
well, the highest paid people are licensed, certified, or registered. And you look at a successful car salesman, for example. I have a young man. And I'm talking about young. He's in his 20s. Mm-hmm. He is going to crack $100,000 a year as a car salesman.
Mm-hmm. Thing about selling cars,
that's awesome.
Usually when somebody wants to buy a car, they go to the car place. The customers come to you.
Right. And you just need to be consultative sales.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something you can learn. You can go to class for it, all sorts of stuff.
Probably go out and see Tip James, talk to him about not,
the job.
You know how to do it.
The on-the-job training aspect is something that the government is just completely I guess because they didn't learn on the job, or they have some intuitive powers that they became on, great statesmen the day that they got elected, and they didn't pay attention to anybody else. I guess they don't think that would apply to any other fields. That's just my humble opinion.
Yeah, well, it's a shame because government... And I'm not talking about just federal, I'm talking about all walks of government. They have put a value on a college education that really isn't there. And you can walk in and have gone to the worst university in the world, but as long as you have the sheepskin from there, you're treated like the person who's gone to the best university in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole thing is being able to do it. Do you have the knowledge of word processing, Excel, and things like that? You don't really, as long as you have a fairly good grasp of writing and grammar, then you can do really well out there,
mm-hmm.
really well.
Well, want to goes a long way, and some of these people just think they're going to sit in a class for 4 years, and then when they pop out, they're going to make $100,000 a year. And they're choosing silly things. Well, of course it doesn't. I mean, that's just reality. You and I know that. But apparently there's not a college class that will educate folks to that, so...
Yeah, it was because of the big lie. They're told you get a college education and you make something of yourself.
Well, you go out there and bust your hump for somebody and pay attention to what they're doing, and that's how you make your living. And
there you go. Just be really good at what you do.
That's right.
Thanks, Eric. Appreciate you, buddy.
Yes, sir. Bye-bye.
Bye. Let's go to Randall. Randall, welcome to the Dan Moore Show.
Good evening. Good evening.
Good evening. How's the weather? How's the weather in your place?
Man, it's stormed for, you know, probably about every 45 minutes, a humdinger run through here. And I mean, big drops, you know. So it ain't slack. It's done hit us 3 times a day. So, but it, I don't know, man. It's crazy weather. I guess I should have listened to Uncle Weather this morning on Blue World. I didn't look at his video this morning. But on the car salesman, that ain't my call, but the car salesman there, and I believe is going away. I mean, any car that you can, once you get to where you can order, you know, they got that little gumball machine now in Atlanta. You can order your car, and they you know, they send you a token, you go put it in and watch it come all the way down, and they got the one that delivered to you straight from the factory. I think car salesman in 20 years is going to be obsolete unless you're paying cash.
Yeah, let me respond to that. Yeah, the used car business in particular has changed drastically because of places like Carvana and buying cars on the internet.
Yes, sir. And it's took, you know, some food out of people's mouths right here, for certainly. But I think this $15 hour, I look at it a different way. This is, I mean, McDonald's is pushing this. Burger King is pushing this. They are ready to go online with automated. And they just don't want to go in there and put all this automation in there and fire everybody, and then they look bad. See, this way, they got their folks in there fighting for the $15 hour. So we push our own selves out of a job. We walk ourselves out of, you know, pay, you know, I guess 1, 2, 3. We just sitting there doing it, and, you know, at a degree that we never noticed it, because in every McDonald's, this is about it now, everywhere is an automated machine just sitting there waiting idle. You can actually order off of it if you want to, but they just, and then they also in California, I think, is where they are set up. Where that starts with S, but they got one where it's already flipping hamburgers. So I think they are pushing this, Dan. I just don't see no other way, because it just all of a sudden started like 4 years ago. It just got really, really bad, and I think it, all this automation has come to term, and they got it ready to put online, and everybody, just humans are in the way, and you know, and we are, you know, taking our own selves out by fighting for this $15 hour, because they got people I can't think of the folks that go in there and fight, but they actually paying folks to fight for this $15 hour on their own company. McDonald's paying for it, so I know
I haven't heard that. I'll tell you the biggest thing that is the interface in the restaurant world, and that is online. That is huge. I cannot think of the last time I have bought a pizza that was not online.
Mm-hmm.
And matter of fact, it's like I recently got picked up something at Applebee's, that the fajita thing, which is really good, by the way.
So you just go online and order it?
Go online, you order it, you tell them what color your car is, you give them the credit card, you pull up, they see you, they walk it out, put it in your hand, and I drive home and eat it.
Man.
Yes, sir. Have y'all paid attention to the little ordering things that every one of these new McDonald's, when they redo them, they put them in? Even though people don't use them, they sitting there.
I don't. You know, I haven't been inside a McDonald's since I was like 19.
All right, well, every one of them, Dan. It started down there in where the Mickey Mouse thing is, down in Florida. That's the first place 8 years ago I seen one of them.
Disney?
And
Mickey Mouse.
Disney. Yeah. Disney. They had one in the big, that's the
I
biggest
can name
McDonald's.
I can name that place in 3 notes.
3 notes, huh? Oh, goodness. Yeah, they got it. They put them there, and that's where I first seen them at. Now, every McDonald's they redo, they go ahead and stick that machine in there, even that one up in Shorter. You can walk in and punch in what you want without using the cash register woman. And they just getting ready to do away with us, and I just think they couldn't do away with people.
Yeah, I promise.
I'll send you the stuff on it.
Okay, thanks, Brandon.
All right, brother.
Wow, we got a flurry on this one. Mike, welcome aboard the Damo Show.
Good day, fellas.
How are you?
I'm doing great. Hey, you look at the people, we're talking about the workforce, the people that are wanting $15 an hour jobs. 15 is a good number. I started in the automotive industry with a work permit. You remember where you got out of school early?
I did too.
Yeah. Well, I even ended up paying for myself to go to kind of an alternative school because I was making more money than I was. So, not dropping out of high school, I did graduate. But, you know, I've been in the automotive industry. I'm 40 now, okay? I worked my way up from a grease monkey. Or I don't want to tell my fellow guys they're grease monkeys, but I worked my way up from
that's an old term.
Yeah. I worked my way up
from changing oil at an Expertate on the corner of Woodley Road and Southern Boulevard, and I manage a dealership now, making $80,000 a year. So it can be done through perseverance. That's no schooling, nothing when it came to automotive whatsoever, except for your ASC test and then getting into management. But, I mean, it's just amazing. Our biggest problem is that we can't find people that want to do manual labor.
There you go. That's exactly it.
And the ones that do, unfortunately, are not just lower skilled with their hands. They're kind of lower skilled up top also. So that's the whole industry right now. Matter of fact, you could probably ask Don Duncan that, and he'll tell you the same thing. Because when I worked for him, that was one of our problems was, you know, he's got some quality people that work for him. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, he's picky about who he hires.
Absolutely.
But, you know, you get what you pay for when it comes to it also. But, you know, and speaking on the minimum wage thing there, these sneaky Democrats, I know exactly what they're doing. They're giving themselves another pay raise by doing this $15 an hour thing because they know they'll generate more tax revenue on employee tax and federal tax to that. It's not just helping people out. It's giving themselves a pay raise without raising taxes on anybody else so they can, you know, just kind of backdoor a little more money in the federal government's pockets. So, but...
Mike, you know. I appreciate the comments, and I appreciate the insight of the that would increase coffers, particularly in Social Security. But of course, if you're not paying somebody because you're paying a machine, that's a different story. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate you.
All right.
Ta-ta. Let me go to a break. Old Navy coming back to you, Dan Mar Show, right after this.
News Talk 93.1 WACV.
And if I had the chance, I'd never let you go. So won't you say you love me? I'll make you...
What do you get with Greg, Rich, Jay, and Emily Hayes? Three men and a lady. Mornings 6 to 9 on News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Have you ever thought you'd like to own a zero-turn riding mower, but you just couldn't justify it because either your yard is too small or the price is too big? Hey folks, Bruce Holding with CTE Outdoor Power introducing the new Hustler Dash. At only 34 inches wide, the Hustler Dash is perfect for small yards, and starting at only $21.99 or payments as low as $50 a month, it's the perfect price. Bottom line, the Hustler Dash is the most compact, affordable zero-turn on the market today. And when you purchase CTE's VIP package, you get free delivery upon purchase. And for as long as you own your Hustler, you'll get free pickup and delivery, free blade sharpening, our 7-day repair guarantee, and a free rental mower while yours is in our service department. Well, with service like that, why go anywhere else? And military personnel, to honor you, please ask about our military discounts. CTE Outdoor Power, I-85 at Perry Hill Road, and CTEOutdoorPower.com.
Hi there, I'm Kim Williams with Alabama Home Mortgage. Let's be honest, most of us have already given up on our New Year's resolutions, but it's not too late to get your finances in shape. Make the call that will change it all, 567-4223. You don't believe me? Listen up. A teacher in Millbrook was able to pay off $30,000 worth of credit card debt by refinancing with Alabama Home Mortgage. And get this, her monthly mortgage payment went down. With a little tutoring, now her mortgage ranks top of the class. You heard me right. That money you've been looking for may very well be right there in your home. Quit making those minimum monthly payments on credit cards. It's time to pay them off for good. Call my team today at 567-4223 or visit us online at alahomemortgage.com. That's alahomemortgage.com to see just how much money you could be saving with an Alabama Home Mortgage. NMLS 1586-368, Equal Housing Lender.
When news happens, you'll hear about it first. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Come on. Busted flat in Baton Rouge, waiting for a train, when I was feeling near as faded as my jeans.
272-9228, that's where we are.
I'll be thumbed a diesel down just before it rained, wrote a song.
Yeah, CCR said he had a good time down at Sweet Creek Farm Market this weekend. Great music, great food. Grandkids had a good time. Others are telling me that the weather is really getting bad. Papa B weighed in. And up in your neck of the woods, Rusty, it's really getting bad, too.
Yeah.
Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Old Navy. Old Navy, how are you today?
I'm great. Thank you very much.
What's on your mind?
It was never intended for a first-time person getting a job earning minimum wage. It was never intended for that to be your career.
No.
The expectation was is that, you know, you'd learn a skill, you would master that skill, and then you'd move on to the next skill in that line of work. You know, where you'd eventually, if, for example, using McDonald's as an example, you'd work your way up until you were the manager of a restaurant, and then maybe a manager of three restaurants. That's how the whole scheme was built. You were never supposed to be able to afford a family and three or four kids on a minimum wage job. I think a lot of the problem is we have had people that have not been willing to make that move or able to make that climb up that corporate ladder, and they're stuck in those jobs because they made poor choices. And so now they're an age where they want to start a family or they have started a family, and they can't make ends meet.
Yeah, it's actually even worse than that. What has happened is you go in, and let's say you're going to work at Dillard's, and they're going to pay you X, and you're going to be working the floor. Well, for you to kind of advance, you got to be doing more than what you started on your first month there. You had to be doing a lot more than that.
Right.
But they've taken out so many jobs that are above you that have been automated or basically are done somewhere else and brought to you. You're missing a lot of that middle stuff
right
out there. You go into McDonald's, there's not a lot of middle anything in there. And that's the problem, because all the middle part got automated out. And for the audiences out there, for your kids, your grandkids, you need to be thinking differently about jobs today than we thought about them back during our time.
Right.
Because it's a whole different ballgame.
Oh, yeah. And have you noticed that there's about three of these places, the fast food places that you go to, that the folks there act like they're really happy to be there and really glad to see you? That counts a lot against you.
Yeah,
right there.
Chick-fil-A being one of them.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Jack's being another.
That's two very good examples.
Yeah. Well, the military does that. I mean, it's up or out, you know?
Yeah,
You're either advanced or you're kicked out.
Right, and that's the whole purpose. They're trying to advance. There are a lot of businesses that are not built on an advancement, but now there are a lot of businesses that are. I tell you one that, and John, you know the guy, the Ass Telemarketing.
Oh yeah, Rick Burley.
I tell you what, I have met some of his employees and have watched them kind of through the time. I mean, the fact that he's got one person I met has been there for 7 years and loves their job and makes a bunch of money and because they're good.
Well, Rick's real good to them, and they're good to him. I mean, they're like a big family out there.
Well, I mean, what he does is he basically pays for performance. If you are a high performer, you're going to get rewarded.
Right. Well, you know, if you like digging holes, go get you a job digging holes. And if you like doing the telemarketing, there, you're in the perfect place.
Well, if you can learn consultative sales in today's world, matter of fact, I mean, we're looking for somebody to work help us out in a digital world, but it's if you can learn consultative sales, you can do extremely well in this world. Yep. But you've got to think about business and working completely different than when we grew up, Old Navy. Did I lose
them? Well, I'm glad I grew up when I did.
Yep. By the way, Old Navy is like an overachiever. He's like smart beyond smart.
No.
He is.
I wanted to thank whoever was nice enough to donate those Sweet Creek gift cards.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know who that person was, but I wanted to thank him.
Well, I tell you one thing, Old Navy. I have got the greatest audience that does things like that. And you have no clue how much I appreciate when they can do that, and I can pass that on to the audience or listeners.
All right.
Like you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Take care, Old Navy. Newstalk 93.1. Let's go in and keep on with this so we don't burn these clips. Let's keep on with the minimum wage and the Dems. Number two? No.
And he approaches the mouse, and he is putting his finger on the button.
So do you worry, for example, the one thing President Obama never really seemed to realize is there'll be a reaction for every action he took to force business to do certain things. When you see these candidates on the trail saying, I'm going to bat for the worker, you have to look around the next corner, right?
Sure. So, again, you need to do it gradually. So I'm all for and support the increase of federal minimum wage. It's too low right now. No one's paying it anyway. Mm-hmm. But we cannot go to $15 an hour in 1 year. It'll just create too many job
loss. And what would happen is, if Walmart's paying me X amount of dollars and I can get more at Amazon, or I can go to Kmart, or if I can go to another chain, that's where I go. And if they want you to stay, they give you more money. The free market approach has always been what's fueled this country.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you want to retain employees, which is the most important thing, you're going to have to be competitive with wages. So we've seen our wages spike dramatically over the last few years to make sure that we retain our employees. It's just automatically happening.
Tell anybody, I'm just going to go to the ballot box.
Yeah, $15 an hour sounds great, but it will absolutely hurt the small mom and pop operators and even chains like Subway.
Right.
You're going to charge $9 for a footlong?
Yeah, this minimum wage thing is... The Dems are just, they're pandering. That's all they're doing. They have zero business sense, and they don't know how to apply it. I want to mention a sponsor of this show and a personal friend, LeVon Russell and Mosquito Shield. Folks, I do not worry about mosquitoes in my house. Never have since I've had Mosquito Shield. And they have a $29.95 first-time offer for Damn Our Show listeners, and then they'll come back every... You don't have to sign a contract, but if you do want them, they'll come back every 3 or 4 weeks, and they'll spray. You will not see any mosquitoes. I had folks over during the week, and they were just shocked at how not one mosquito was out there. Get ready to copy this telephone number down. 334-513-2940. 513-2940. LeVon Russell's his name. Killing those little mosquitoes is his game. Mosquito Shield. You will love them. Rusty, John, yes. I want to thank you for a great show, buddy.
Well, we got through it.
We made it.
You did great, man.
You did great. We're live. We're going to see you tomorrow?
I'll be here tomorrow.
We've got election tomorrow, so we'll head in on that and want to get reports from different precincts from you guys. Guys, be good. Be safe. Be back tomorrow at 12 o'clock, and I keep doing this until I get it right. Greg Udell, the great. He's next. Adios.